Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Greg Natzik and Jessica Time with you. Happy to be joined by Brewers.com writer Adam McKelvey at Wrigley Field covering the Brewers and Cubs series. Jessica, I don't know if you watched the game last night or listened to it. I thought it was very kind of the Brewers to do what they did.
Tell me more, because I did not watch it.
Well, they played awful, and that is exactly what the Cubs have been doing all season long. So, Adam, I thought it was really nice for the Brewers to kind of show the Cubs it's okay to play awful. It happens on occasion.
Well, that is an interesting analysis, and you always see the glass half full, Greg. And, you know, even their closer, Hector Neris, has had a pretty rocky year, and the Brewers put, you know, they always seem to bring the tying run to the plate at the end of the game, and they did it again last night, but Craig Counsell's bullpen got it done. So it was a very ugly game, and Pat Murphy, you know, one thing about Pat Murphy that's interesting is he's not afraid to sort of criticize the club, but not in like a, you know, a harsh way or something like that, but just in like a real kind of honest way. He said last night that their youth showed through, and it was Tobias Myers had a really bad 0-2 wild pitch that scored a run, throwing error that led to a run. He balked, he fell down on the mound. I don't know what you can't really do anything about that, but just some kind of mistakes that haven't been characteristic of his start. He's in a really important arm to kind of hold things together as they've had all these injuries and this kind of new look Corbin Burnsless starting rotation. He's been a key guy, and he just didn't have his best night. But it, you know, and then also the at bats, some at bats that Pat Murphy didn't like, and he'll say it. That's a change from previous managers here.
Adam, you just heard me admit that I don't watch every single game, but I always try to do my research. Would you say that our youth showed in that game?
Yeah, I mean, that's what Pat Murphy was talking about. I mean, Tobias Myers has been around the block. He's pitched already for 5 or 6 organizations, but he's 25 years old. He's been released a couple of times. He's been designated for assignment. And then offensively, the Cubs pitcher was having a hard time. Assad was having a hard time throwing strikes. And, you know, there is an art to hitting in those situations where the opposing pitcher is struggling to throw strikes, so you don't want to go up there and necessarily swing at the first pitch. On the other hand, you know the guy is struggling to find the strike zone. He might try to lay one right down the middle for you to try to find the strike zone. So sometimes there is an opportunity to pounce on a first pitch, and it's that fine line that is kind of the art of hitting and the cat and mouse when a pitcher is struggling with command. And in this case last night, Pat Murphy thought the Brewers' young hitters would have been better in a couple of situations to try to be a little more patient and not have that aggressiveness come out. And those are all learning experiences. And I think from his point of view and the coach's point of view, they're trying to learn off those things. They're trying to understand that they are, and this organization maybe always will, walk that tightrope between developing these young homegrown type players and competing for the postseason every year, which is their aim. And over the last 6 years, they've done a really good job of that. And they're, again, this year, you have to give them credit for doing that, probably to the extreme on the position player side. They're the second youngest position player group in the major leagues, and they are offensively a lot better than they were last year. And I think the offense with the defense is a big reason why they are in first place.
So at this time next week, Adam, we'll be counting down the hours to the trade deadline. So 5 o'clock Central Time, July 30th, exactly 1 week from today at 5 o'clock, the trade deadline will hit. So here we go, right? There's rumors, there's speculation. This show is all about wild speculation, so we offer that to you.
Get out of here.
So, have the Brewers made their moves? Are they continuing to look? I know what General Manager Matt Arnold will say. We're always looking to make the team better, right? Kind of the general term. But what still makes sense for this team?
He'll say we're looking to make the team better, and it's credible because of the way the trade deadline works now, where we've talked about this before, where general managers want to hold those trade pieces as close and long as they can and try to squeeze, you know, just a little bit better player in return, one extra prospect in return. So much of the deadline now happens right at the deadline. And I think that will be the case again this year. The other thing that strikes me, Greg, is the modern GM, the sort of, Ivy League GM, I don't know that that's entirely fair anymore because Matt Arnold's not an Ivy League guy. His background is in scouting. But the kind of modern analytic GM, they don't work the room like they used to in terms of, like, putting rumors out there to see what happens. It's a lot closer. Everything is close to the vest. It's GM to GM, or at least a small circle. It's all on text. There's fewer loose lips around the trade deadline this year. And I don't know if you've noticed that, but to me, it is just a different kind of season than it used to be, where it felt like there was an entire month run-up of where is CeCe Sabathia, for example, going to go. I think teams play it closer to the vest, and I think they're also maybe a little bit more sophisticated on what kind of player they trade for. It's not always the free agent to be where you rent a guy for 2 months. Take Aaron Civale. Aaron Civale is a good pitcher. He's not had a great last calendar year. But a year ago at the trade deadline, he was traded for a top 40 prospect in baseball. And that's when he went to the Rays. So the Brewers pick him up and have him for next season as well. So it's not just a rental, it's thinking about a season and a half. And I think those types of trades are what more and more GMs are looking for. Those are also harder trades to make, obviously, because you're talking about control of a player. It's going to take more in prospect capital to get those guys. So I just expect that things go right up to the deadline. I would still bet on Matt Arnold adding some kind of arm, at least one more arm, even though you already made the Civale move, which is not insignificant. But whether it's a bullpen guy, whether it's a starter, whether it's some kind of hybrid, I think they're approaching a period where they're going to get pretty creative with Joe Ross coming back for a short start, D.L. Hall, maybe tandem with a Joe Ross and give you a length out of the pen or a shorter start. I think there's some opportunities for them to use kind of the length they have in the pen and sort of have some starters go through the order twice and then go to a sort of long-ish reliever. And maybe they try to find a piece that fits into that kind of puzzle because it would make sense.
Adam, we talked about the Brewers' youth and how young the guys are. How could you see that playing out in the playoffs? Is that going to hurt them?
Well, you never know. And it's also no guarantee that the playoffs aren't going to affect the veteran players because there are plenty of examples of really good players not hitting in the postseason because it's a different animal. It's a short season. It's a kind of hit the reset button on the statistics. And I haven't been able to crack the code of, you know, covering a lot of playoffs, Brewers and watching other teams, of who's going to be the breakthrough. I don't think it's not necessarily the Christian Yelich of the team that's the guy that carries you in the postseason. Remember years ago, Orlando Arcia had a huge postseason series for the Brewers. Maybe that was 2018 where he had a great postseason and where he came a lot of big hits and a couple home runs. So that is the peril and the beauty of baseball's postseason is that everything is such a small sample and one moment, one defensive play, one hit, one dunk, one fumble at shortstop changes the course of an entire series. It's what drives GMs crazy. And I think it's kind of what makes the baseball postseason the most interesting postseason.
All right, Adam, events begin in the Olympics officially tomorrow. What you going to sink your teeth into here? Archery, football, handball, or rugby sevens? Those are your options for tomorrow if you want to dive in. Actually, no, it looks like it's just archery.
But would you dive into the river?
But
that's
yes,
a bigger question.
You don't want to do that.
I don't know. I've fallen into the Milwaukee River and survived,
oh,
so
goodness.
Maybe I'd be fine with that. I'll say archery because at New Berlin Eisenhower High School, go Lions, we actually did archery in high school or middle school maybe with like arrows.
Yes.
Not suction cup darts?
No, with arrows. And there was, I remember them setting up like targets that were, I don't know if it was hay or, maybe some styrofoam or something. In the doubt, there was an auxiliary gym. And we did archery. I will bet my half my salary that, well, which isn't very much. I'll bet half my salary that they don't do that at New Berlin Eisenhower anymore.
I bet they don't do that anymore, but I'm with you. I remember doing that too. We were outside, though. We didn't do it inside. That sounds dangerous.
I don't think you can use real arrows anymore.
Probably not.
That's what I'm saying. I think we went rogue in New Berlin. It was wild. It was open farmland back then. We just did all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, growing up watching the A-Team, I thought when you hit that hay bale with the arrow, it just exploded.
I don't think that happened. I don't remember that happening in Eisenhower. But I do remember, I might be making this up, but I remember real arrows. A fellow alum will have to confirm.
Well, there's a lot of things that happened in the A-Team that aren't exactly real-life situations. But we appreciate your time, Adam. We'll check it again next week. A run-up to the trade deadline. We'll have a lot to talk about.
See you guys.